Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
Well, I told you how I recently reached out to apologize to Ross for random topics to start our conversations. So I think it's okay. On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Why don't you do the honors?
I didn't necessarily need to drag Ross into this, but I mean, I'm happy to.
Wouldn't you love to know his take?
I'm happy to engage. Ross, I got a speeding ticket in the mail yesterday. 93 and an 80 from June 28th of this past summer from Spain. How much of a hurry should I be in to make sure I pay that?
That is incredible. First of all, 93 and an 80.
Well, it's kilometers.
Are you talking kilometers?
Yes. Yes, Spain.
He wants to make it sound faster.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said here. First of all, we live in America, and if you get a speeding ticket involving kilometers, that's rule number one. You don't have to pay it.
Okay.
Number two, if you get a letter in the mail from Spain saying you have a speeding ticket, unless you think there's any chance you'll ever go back to Spain, you also don't need to pay it.
I think these
number
are
three,
good points so far.
Number three, I think it should be illegal to send speeding tickets in the mail from like a video camera. If you didn't have a cop that caught me, then it didn't happen. Because how am I supposed to talk a video camera or a letter out of the ticket? That's not fair. This is we used to live in a proper society. There should be a negotiation and a discussion. I probably got pulled over, I don't know, three or four times when I played for the Bills. I don't remember getting one ticket. I may or may not have mentioned that I played for the Bills.
I can't hurt, I guess.
Were any of these occurrences being pulled over in Spain?
No, I've actually never been to Spain. I would love to go to Spain.
Right.
I love the idea of somehow Bulldog, he comes upon some wealth, He's vacationing in Europe on the regular, and somebody in the group has an idea. You know, right over there is Spain. If we wanted to just jump over there for a day in Spain, and either you don't because of this ticket from 2024, or you do, and they're waiting for
you. If something happens, right?
That would be awesome.
I think it could be pretty cool. I mean, I'm going to be 60 in July, so I mean, this is diminishing by the minute here for me. Like the coolness factor of having a country I can't go to. So we're on this thing you're describing. Like I'm somehow independently wealthy despite working my entire professional life in AM radio.
Like
right,
that might be the coolest thing about it. Like, hey, you want to go to Spain?
I can't. I'd love to, but I can't.
I can't go to Spain.
I'm not allowed in.
Portugal, fine. No, no Spain.
Is there a list of countries you can't go to? That's the list. Spain is the whole list.
What did you? What Bulldog? What did you do that you're banned from Spain? I drove a rental car.
A little bit too fast.
Right.
A little bit too fast.
13 kilometers an hour over the posted limit.
I believe Ross has spoken, and Bulldog is going to tear that thing up.
Thank you for taking the question, Ross.
Ross Tucker. So here we go. Playoff time, Ross. And the Bills draw Denver. They're pretty healthy. The Broncos are really the question, like whether or not this is a team that's coming off a pretty nice win, I mean, against the Chief backups. But everybody wants to know how good they are. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think any team that makes the playoffs, any team that has double-digit wins is good. So they're good. But I would submit to you, I think that they are probably the worst team that made the playoffs. I mean, I'd have to go and check. I'm pretty confident that they probably have the worst odds to win the Super Bowl. You know, out of the 14 teams that are in it, for example, you know, the Eagles have the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl. But the Packers, the seventh seed in the NFC, they're seventh. So the Eagles are fifth, but the Packers are seventh. There's not a big spread there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think the Bills are, what, third or fourth? They're definitely ahead of the Eagles. And I didn't go that far to look and see which team was dead last to have to win the Super Bowl, but I would think it's Denver. I would think Denver would be the dead last, least likely playoff team to go to the Super Bowl and win it.
They or Pittsburgh, probably, and part of that is that they have first...
Pittsburgh. Yeah, good call. Pittsburgh's been so bad lately, yeah.
Either one, though, part of it is having such a tough first matchup, right? Like,
right.
Not every time would the 7 seed necessarily have the worst matchup, but the Bills have been so good. Well, what about the Bills then, Ross? I mean, all the time we've spent, for years now, talking about their chances in the playoffs. Here we go. I guess it's time to find out answers about McDermott in the big spot. I mean, I guess Allen, but Allen has not been under the same kind of scrutiny in this way as McDermott over the years. Their defense has been roughed up a little bit. What do you think of how they look going in?
Yeah, I guess the one thing that jumps out to me is that it's not going to be an easy pass. I mean, I think they'll take care of business against the Broncos, but then it would seem to be very likely that they'll have to play the Baltimore Ravens, who are really good. I mean, you know, on today's Ross Tucker – actually, I take it back. On today's Even Money Betting podcast, my co-host said – and we're going to post this on social media at Ross Tucker NFL at some point. But he said the Ravens are by far the best team in the NFL. Now, keep in mind, he's a professional bettor, and they look very, very closely at yards per play. That's like a major metric for them. And I guess the Ravens average like 1.7 yards per play more than the average, and the second best team is like 1.1. So there are statistical measures out there that would suggest that the Baltimore Ravens, despite their 5 losses, that the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in pro football. And so it seems pretty likely that the Bills will have to go through them, thankfully for the Bills at home, before very likely going to Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, I think Baltimore is getting a lot of credit as the season comes to a close. And by the way, I said that makes it sound like I'm judging it as though they don't deserve the credit. The defense, Ross, we talk about the whole league with you throughout the season here. And I'm sure at the midpoint of the season, it was like, yeah, Lamar Jackson looks great. And they've really got something going here with Derrick Henry. But boy, that pass defense, you can get them. And that has really changed here in the back half of the season for them.
Yeah, they made one major personnel change, and it moved three guys, and it's made a world of difference. So they put the rookie, Nate Wiggins, in a corner opposite Brandon Stevens. Wiggins is a first-round pick, rookie out of Clemson. He's very, very good. He had to pick six in their last game against Bailey Zappi. So what that did was that enabled them to be able to put Marlon Humphrey, who's a really good player, instead of him being an outside corner, now he's playing the nickel, which means he's up near the box, he's blitzing, he's defending the slot receiver, he's making plays in the run game, and then that enabled them to make Kyle Hamilton more of a deep middle-of-the-field safety or move him around a little bit more, and they were really, really struggling at safety. I mean, that was probably the position that was hurting them the most. Eddie Jackson was starting. It got so bad they cut him. They were rotating guys around. Well, now they have Kyle Hamilton. It's like an all-pro safety play in there as opposed to using Kyle as the nickel. So I think you could argue that they got better and arguably a decent amount better at multiple spots by inserting the rookie Wiggins. It's made a huge difference.
How do you feel about the Bills' offense here? I mean, Allen, we know what the ceiling looks like with him, and maybe we'll end up with a narrative here that he's just so on a mission to win that he's able to overcome any challenge, and that could be Lamar too, I guess. But do they have the rest of it right enough for you? I mean, Cook with his 16 rushing touchdowns is massive. The whole idea with their pass offense is to move the ball around, and they end up with 13 wins with Mac Hollins leading the team in receiving touchdowns with five. So how good do you feel about their offense as a whole?
Yeah, I guess I feel really good. I'm kind of over the names or the lack thereof in terms of pedigree. I mean, I saw him score 40-some points on the road against the Rams. I saw him, you know, beat the Chiefs. I saw him score 40-some points on the road against the Lions. You know, they can score points. You know, they have figured it out. Joe Brady, Josh Allen, spreading the ball around, running it with Cook, running it with Josh. They can score points. I guess, if anything, I'd be more concerned with the defense still. You know, that would be the bigger concern to me. I'll give you an example. You know, the week after the Bills played the Patriots, I called Patriots Chargers on NFL Network, and the Patriots couldn't do anything against the Chargers. I mean, like, nothing. Meanwhile, the week before, on the road in Buffalo, they had, like, controlled the action in that game against the Bills. They had a season high in first downs. You know, they were right there. If they didn't have some turnovers in the second half, they very easily could have won the game. And so that would probably be the more troubling aspect to me, especially if they have that inevitable game against the Baltimore Ravens. Man, the Ravens' offense is nasty. Like, very, very, very difficult to stop. I'd actually be fascinated to hear. I can't wait to see what the betting line is for that game, if it happens, which I hope it does.
I would guess Bills by less than 3. I would think they might be a one or, you're better at this than me, I think 1 or 2 point home favorite, which maybe it depends a little bit on this week.
I wouldn't go above 2.5.
But think about this, guys. Think about the difference in the past between, you know, like the Bills, they got to win a game this weekend and stay healthy, but they got to win a game against a real NFL team that has done some really positive things in the Broncos. Then they got to beat the Ravens, who are very, very good. You know, one of the 5 teams I can actually see going to the Super Bowl and winning it. Then they got to go play at the Chiefs. Whereas the Chiefs, they play nobody this weekend. They're off. Then they host either the Chargers or the Texans. more than likely. You know, there could be an upset, but more than likely. Neither one of them really scares anybody, certainly not the Chiefs. I don't know. It just kind of feels like the Chiefs only have to win one game at home to get in the Super Bowl again.
Do you have a particular take on turnovers? And there are people who feel like it's more luck than other people feel. I wonder about you as a former player. The Bills have not lost a fumble since week four. They have two lost fumbles this season, one in the opener and one in week four, both by Allen. It's that sack trick play against right. the Ravens. That's the last lost fumble by the Bills. Eight turnovers on the season. And so, again, Ross, there'd be different schools of thought on whether that either speaks very well, both sides of the ball. They were third in the league in takeaways. Whether that speaks very well about your team or where it's maybe a little bit more luck-driven than you'd like for, you know, your confidence.
I think the two aspects of that are not luck are usually your quarterback and your pass rush. A lot of times turnovers are created by having a ferocious pass rush. And so I think that whether it's fumbles or tip balls or, you know, pressure on the quarterback leading interceptions, I think that is in large part, a product of the pass rush. And then, you know, there are quarterbacks that do a terrific job protecting the ball. And we all know who they are and, you know, Brady or whoever over the years. Mm-hmm. And then there are quarterbacks like Will Levis or people, you know what I mean, who do a terrible job protecting the ball. And so I think that's an area where Josh has greatly improved during his career. But I would also say that, you know, turnovers are not a predictive statistic at all. I would say they're probably the least predictive statistic, right? Like, you know, the Bills could be plus 20 or whatever they are for the season, plus 12, but that doesn't really help them if they're minus 3 on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe they're due for a fumble. Maybe you just jinxed them, Mike, and maybe everybody should hate you forever if the Bills lose. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, that's probably going to happen anyway. Plus 24 on the season. Yeah. Kind of amazing to be so good at both. Fewest turnovers and most takeaways. Ross Tucker on the...
You know what's interesting about that, Mike? Yeah,
yes.
I'm sorry, just to jump in.
Please.
That would be like my co-host on the Even Money betting podcast. He would say to you that there is a high level of luck and variance in that, and that is an indicator that the Bills aren't really as good as their record indicates, right? Like... Mm-hmm. You know, he'd also say, yes, the Chiefs are 15-2, but they won every one-score game. You know, they really are probably more like a 12-win team, whereas the Ravens are a 12-win team that lost the one-score games and really should be more like a 15-win team. It's just interesting the statistics that they value and that they don't think – they think there's no – there's a lack of randomness with yards per play because mm-hmm. it's such a large sample size of every play the entire season. Whereas, you know, one score games can go either way, turnovers, you know, ball bounces this way, ball bounces that way. It's an interesting way to look at it. That's for sure.
I would be right in line with all of that, by the way. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
By the way, we're talking in the way you're talking. You don't really think Pittsburgh has much of a chance in Baltimore on Saturday night, do you?
No, I'll be on the sideline for that one. I got a great – I don't know if I told you guys this already. I got a great great little weekend. So, well, first of all, Penn State Notre Dame, which was by far the most important game of my childhood, growing up with Penn State season tickets in a Irish Catholic family, my dad's side. So I went to Penn State Notre Dame 5 years in a row, three times at South Bend. So for them to be playing Thursday night is incredible. The only fly in the ointment there is that my daughters are in Alice in Wonderland that night. And the younger one is little Alice, and the older one's like the lead, Alice. So I will not be watching the first half of Penn State Notre Dame.
I'll let you know what happens.
I will be prioritizing my daughters, of course. But then this weekend, Saturday, I'm on the sideline for Steelers-Ravens, which Baltimore Stadium is probably an hour, 15 minutes from my house in Hershey. Like an hour, 15. Mm-hmm. It's not far at all. So I'll go down there, do the game, drive back. Sunday, go to church with my family. Then I'll drive, I don't know, hour and a half to Philly, and I'm in the booth with Tom McCarthy, Western One National Radio, right after your game for Packers-Eagles. Then I'll drive home. I'll be home by, like, I don't know, 9:30. It's great. It's like the dream weekend. No planes, no hotels, but I'm double-dipping. And it's still playoff games.
Not bad. By the way, Bulldog can watch Penn State for you while you go to your daughter's performance. You really can't swap that, though. Like, you can't have Bulldog go to the show
and
tell you how it is, and then you watch the football game. You really can't flip that.
No.
No, and interestingly, there's three shows, Thursday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And, of course, the Saturday show is Saturday night as opposed to being Saturday matinee or something. Mm-hmm. Saturday night when I'm going to be in Baltimore. And then the Sunday show is the matinee when I'll be in Philadelphia. So,
yeah, you're stuck.
That's a bummer, but that's also why I will be totally, utterly locked in Thursday night, because Penn State Notre Dame is just a fandom thing. It's not a work thing. And I'll be home to be able to watch the second half, which, if you ever notice, right, you really only ever talk about the plays in the second half anyway. I mean, the first half matters, but how many times do you really the next day think about, if it's a close game? Now, if it's a blowout, maybe, but if it's a close game, you don't really spend very much time worrying about or talking about the things that happened in the first half. It's like the second half's the thing.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Those are the plays that you think about, that if that had gone this way or that had gone that way. So,
yep.
It'll be cool.
100%. Ross, thank you. Sounds like a incredible week ahead for you. So, enjoy that, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, make sure you guys win so we can keep talking, please.
Yes.
So, very, very important. Everybody remember, you can find them on social media if the Bills have four fumbles on Sunday.
Even one.
They lose. Mike Shope is the name.
Remember, everybody, fumbles are luck, but talking about them is not. Talking about them is real.
It's poison, right?
Yes. All right. Thanks, Ross.
See you guys.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious, and in part by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at Northwest.
One thing I was thinking about, your speeding ticket came to us on X, as you call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody said they got a speeding ticket in Italy going 1 kilometer over the limit. And when you were talking about that earlier, I realized it's not even that bad. That 93 and 80
right.
Doesn't seem that egregious. Plus, if you're 80, you got to have a pretty liberal, stance on speeding. I mean, it's 80 already. Well, kilometers. But still, I was thinking, I wonder if it's just one over is enough, and they're going to send you that ticket. And this guy in Italy says that happened to him.
Yeah. Good point made by, a couple of different people here. Spanish police also patrol in Portugal, so I may have to stay away from Portugal. I may get credit for being banned from Portugal along with this. And Scott made a good point here. The rental car company, not in Spain, could hold me till maybe I want to avoid the rental car company I use because I might get flagged there. Maybe I'll have trouble renting a car and end up in jail or something.
Maybe you should just never go out.
I'm not going to do that. But I think I can. I know the name of the rental car company. I remember it. I've seen it here. In fact, I think the last time I went out west, we rented a car from this company. But you know, there's others. So I think I can avoid them. And you know, there's a lot of other places to go. I mean, I loved Spain, but I don't need to go back to Spain. We did Spain.
I gotta look into how well these countries communicate with each other when it comes to this sort of thing. They might all know about you by now. And they're on the app. They're listening on the app.
Banned in Europe. I like the sound of this more and more as we go. I'm an outlaw.
And according to Ross, Canada. Right. Because it's kilometers, so you should not have to pay a speeding ticket in Canada. Right. I'm in here paying the tolls from that 407.
Oh, my God. I got another one of those from, well, the same trip. That bill just finally came. Yep.
They take their time with that one, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Our list, we got one last week from September. So, but, you know,
bureaucracy. I don't know what happens if you don't pay those. All I know is there was a guy that we were pretty tight with when we played on the Regals those 2 years, and that was those same trips that you're taking now with your daughter, or had been in the past anyway.
Yep.
And he had a stack of that crap. He's like, I never paid him. I've been doing this for 10 years. I'm not paying.
Interesting. I owe one. All right, lots to ponder here. 803-0550 for your calls. Bills and Broncos Sunday at 1. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You know, turnovers are not a predictive statistic at all. I would say they're probably the least predictive statistic, right? Like, you know, the Bills could be plus 20 or whatever they are for the season, plus 12. But that doesn't really help them if they're minus 3 on Sunday.
Well, let's not assume they will be minus 3 on Sunday.
I'm going to go ahead and not do that.
Sure. I've already got my gear on for Ross coming after me. Like, oh, if they fumble, it's your fault. I'm just going to remind everybody right now that it won't be my fault. Thank you. Does it matter if it's true?
Push back as hard as you want. Doesn't matter. He said it.
Doesn't matter.
He outranks us. It's true. He's going to get on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast or the Even Money Betting Podcast and just all these talk podcasts. All about this with you. And you're in big trouble.
He's
now.
Got more than I do. With these podcasts. All right. Well, that should be the case. That's the world operating as it should.
I agree. Yes. I think. Yeah. Yeah. He outranks me on podcasts. Well, I mean, if he had one, he'd be outranking me because that's dumb.
You've been on them.
I have. Sure. I've done a few, a smattering.
803-0550. How do you feel about this Denver game? Worried? Very confident? I've heard both. I've seen fans just debating what they think the fan base is feeling about the game. Like, are we confident, very confident, nervous about anything? We've been talking about some facets of this game, of course, here in the last couple of days. Would love to hear from you. This will be the third time in 4 years that the Bills go to the wild card round facing a rookie quarterback. Mac Jones.
Right.
Skylar Thompson. Mason Rudolph wasn't a rookie, but he didn't have that many starts.
He was already a journeyman, even though he was on his original team.
Also, Philip Rivers.
Hard to pull off to get journeyman somehow, status when you're still on the team that drafted you.
Philip Rivers was not a rookie, also, when they faced him.
No, he was at the finish line, right? The last passes of his career were here.
He was a rookie Colt.
Right.
But that's it. So, this will be the third time in 4 years with Bo Nix and the Broncos. The last rookie quarterback to win a playoff game would be C.J. Stroud last year for Houston.
Mm-hmm.
The last to win one on the road, do you know?
I don't offhand, no.
Russell Wilson in Washington. I thought of the Minnesota game, but that was not his rookie season. The game in Washington where Robert Griffin got hurt.
Okay.
Mike Shanahan.
Holy cow.
That's Russell Wilson. That's the last rookie quarterback to win a road playoff game.
What year is that?
2012 season, January of 13, 12 years ago.
All right. I had something else in my head about those two teams meeting in the playoffs, but it's earlier than that. It's a wrong season.
Seattle and Washington?
Yeah.
Todd Collins?
Yeah.
In Seattle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Different game.
Yes, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Different location.
Yes. Different uniforms, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah, we can stop.
Here's Phil with us. Hi, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really nervous about the playoffs this year, this game. One-score games. I don't trust Bass, honestly. And in big moments, I guess I'll say. And our punter takes too long to punt the ball. I mean, there are so many times where it's just really close for that punt to get blocked. And it was blocked, I think, once or twice this year. That makes me really nervous as well. Teams can scheme on blocking our a punt. And I'm just really nervous on our special teams, especially the kicking game for one-score games.
All right, Phil.
I understand. We talked about special teams a little bit yesterday, really mostly not so much about being worried about Bass. I mean, that's a choice I think you can make. We've gotten calls all year about Bass. Are you worried about Bass? Like, I'm worried about any kicker. The guy's trying out there to try a 48-yard field goal. It's snowing sideways. I mean, how good are you supposed to feel? I'm worried. I hope he makes it. I mean, he makes way more than he misses. I don't know what to do with it. I mean, he's your kicker. They did sign a backup punter today. I am assuming just to cover in case something happens to Martin. They want to have a guy right here. Obviously, it happens during a game. You're cooked. But, game over game, you got a guy in-house already. You're not going to go combing the waiver wire or whatever. So, there's that, but covering kicks, punts, and kickoffs, I don't think has been great for them this year, and Denver's got a guy. So that to me should be on the table, because when you're trying to put together how does a 10-point or 9-point underdog win a game, any game, let alone a playoff game on the road, they get lightning plays, they get a return, they get a scoop and score or whatever. That usually is a part of the recipe if you're going to pull off that big of an upset. I mean, occasionally a big underdog like that come in and just, kick your ass. But usually there's stuff. So I get being worried about that kind of stuff because the Bills have not been that buttoned up on that. So I don't even I don't know the punter and the time he takes to get rid of the ball or anything like that. Nor Bass. I don't lose any sleep over Bass. But their kick coverage, I hope you get through that.
You also have an injury to your return man.
Yeah, that's right.
Codrington.
Yeah.
We'll see about him. Bass missed 5 field goals this season and 5 extra points. That's more egregious. Martin had 1 punt blocked, and it was no small play. Rams. The difference in the game. It was in the first half, so maybe Ross, but the Rams blocked a punt for a touchdown. The Bills did not. And the Rams won by 2. And, man, take one play out of the season. That's it. Then I probably win. Could have won anyway. And at least I push the Chiefs.
Chiefs have to play.
To play 18. In Denver.
Right.
I would have played 2.
Yeah.
New England, but still.
Right.
You flip that one game, one play, that one play does it, if you will. And you'd have a different week 18. Here is Zach with us. Hi, Zach.
Hey, guys. Nice talking to you tonight. I get the team has scored plenty of points this year and won many games on the idea of everybody eats. And I'm a little tired of hearing myself say that term. I don't really know what else to call it at this point. But the one thing that gives me pause going into the playoffs, and I'm fine with them this week, I think they'll win just fine against the Broncos. I'm just a little worried about at what point does, this everybody eats thing kind of run out of time, I feel. Last I checked or heard, I thought Mac Collins led the team in touchdown receptions.
That's right.
Which seems a little strange to me. And I just feel like once you enter the playoffs, you kind of need to have at least a guy or two. Mike, you've referenced this the last couple of years. I don't recall who did the piece. Somebody did a piece that I thought was excellent on the importance of a wide receiver two heading into the playoffs. And right now, I mean, Shakir, I guess, is your one, if you want to define it. They don't have a two. And I just feel like I haven't seen anybody really step up that I feel confident could kind of put on the cape with Allen in the postseason. I know Cooper has had some amazing catches, but it's not like he's out there going 110 or 2 touchdowns every week or anything like that. It's kind of here and there. And I don't know. I mean, Kincaid hasn't really come to form. I'm struggling to see, as much as I want them to win, and I you know, I'll ride with the team to wherever here, but winning four more games on the back of everybody eats, you know, that's what we got, and I hope it works, but it does give me a little pause, I think.
Mm-hmm. Coleman is interesting. I think I've neglected Coleman in this area too much so. Like, he is a popular target for Allen. They're big gain plays if you hit them. The timing is often not quite perfect between the two, but there's somebody that's not Hollins, you know, where it's possession and maybe red zone. It's not Shakir, where the floor is high, but the ceiling is low. It's not Cooper, which I don't know. Cooper is capable of 180 yards in a game, but he had less than 300 for the Bills in half a season. You know, that didn't really happen. Kincaid was mentioned. Coleman is the one. It's 19 yards per catch. And there is an explosiveness there that the Bills may need. Maybe it's not this week.
Yeah.
But he's one to watch.
I agree. I know we didn't care about the game, and it was Mitch Trubisky throwing him the ball, but I would have liked to see him catch a couple of those on Sunday. Just for practice, you know, like he targeted 10 times and he catched two, I think. I didn't study the box score. And it felt like of the passes he didn't catch, he had one or two hands on most of them. Like, it felt like they were kind of there. Like, I know you're not going to bat 1,000 when you got a defender right on you there. And, you know, that was always a part of the concern with him, is that he's not going to create separation. But he failed to come down with a couple of balls, I think, that you'd like him to catch. If the game mattered, you know, if they were playing for the one seed or something and that happened, I think people would be pretty irate.
Curtis Samuel ended the season with more catches than Coleman, by the way. 31-29. Mm. Surprising?
Yes.
He passed him on Sunday. He caught seven, I think, on Sunday.
If Coleman had caught half of those, then maybe he would have been all right.
Thank you, Zach. 803-0550. Back to the phones after this here on WGR. We both are getting texts from friends about speeding tickets abroad. If you missed any portion of our show, don't. Go to the Audacy app, AUDACY, and catch up.
One of the other participants in this trip that we took to Spain, it was, I don't know, 15, 16 people. One of the other couples, someone just texted me and said, we got a speeding ticket from Spain today, too. So they were a day behind. But they also got, I don't know about 93 and an 80 or anything. And all, everyone, at least as I know it, like, we all didn't rent cars. Like, there were four cars for the 16 of us, maybe, I think, while we were in Spain anyway. Everybody kind of splintered from there, so maybe people rented cars after that didn't have them initially. But anyway, two of us got dinged that first weekend.
What do you do? Sounds like you're just going to stuff it in a drawer.
I think so. I don't feel. I mean, the reason you reacted the way you did when I first started this story is because, you know, I lose a golf bet and, like, the ball isn't even being taken out of the hole by the guy who made the putt, and, like, I'm right there with whatever I owe you. Like, I can't stand something hanging over my head. Last night, same thing. I get home, I open the mail, and I like, what is this? Like, curious looking envelope to begin with, and like the font on the letter is all really small, but, you know, I surmise what it is. I bring it in the living room, like, I'm just going to sit down and figure out how to pay this. And I started thinking about it, and like, A, I don't know if this is a scam or what. Like, I rented a car in Europe. Maybe somebody knew that. I'm not going to just send a credit card to Spain here. So let's see. Even the QR code, like, that could all be a sham. I don't know. Whatever. And then I thought more about it. Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to just keep sending me notices? Curiously, this comes. It says it's a $100 offense, 100 euros.
Ooh.
But it's offering me half, like, pay now, basically, and get half off.
What is going on?
I'm like, that doesn't sound legit at all. Like, I'm not disputing that I didn't do the crime. Like, why are you already offering me half off? This is the first time even hearing about this. And you're like, if I wait another 6 months, are you going to offer me 25%? Like, what are we doing here?
You get a subscription to something with that?
Right? I don't know.
No, we're not negotiating. This isn't the money store. Tim is next. Hello, Tim.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. That's a pretty funny conversation. Bulldog, that's a collection agency. They offer you half off. Take it. No, I'm just kidding. I think you're right. You should operate with caution because that's definitely a little fishy. They would go right to 50%.
Right.
That's not the strongest negotiation.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate your analysis of the situation.
Absolutely. Listen, I appreciate you guys taking my call. What I wanted to just touch on, something you guys were just mentioning in the other caller, I think you made a great point about that everybody eats. We'll need more than that when come postseason. And what concerns me is not to look past Denver, because I wouldn't do that. The Bills are going to start to see more man-to-man coverage. New England was effective, and so was Baltimore. And what disturbed me about Keon Coleman, good friend of mine and I were debating, he didn't agree with me, I didn't see him, like, fight for some of those passes Trubisky threw him. I didn't see him, like, jump back for the ball.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, Tim. Like, I know it's a meaningless game, and we all just kind of flush it, right. But I didn't see a lot of dog there on Sunday.
Right. And here's the thing about it. He has a basketball background. So you would think, like, instinctively, he would know how to separate from man-to-man coverage with a little hand fighting that's subtle, that the NFL will allow him to get physical and at least fight for the ball. And I didn't see that. And I thought the Bills were giving him a good look to kind of prove himself or just kind of get him ready. And I don't think he did well with that wide receiver one role. And that is a bit of a red flag because I think we're going to see a lot of man-to-man because the Bills have not done as well with that. So I appreciate you guys taking a call. I know it's almost done, yep. But I appreciate you taking a call.
Sure. Okay. You're welcome.
Yep.
I think what everybody says about that is the risk of having Allen just run all over you because guys have their backs turned and you send your receivers downfield, he gets out and you're in trouble. But yeah, I mean, depends on teams are going to want to play the way they play when you get to the playoffs and not play your game, so to speak. So I bet Tim is right. We'll see what we get on Sunday, 1 o'clock, Bills and the Broncos. 803-0550 for your calls. We'll get back to it after the update. And I've got a speeding ticket story. It's not from today, but it was about a time where I thought I didn't have to pay a ticket and I was wrong.
Mm.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Stay tuned. This is WGR.